Before I begin, I just need to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. Hey, you're about to have a week off of school, right? Yeah, y'all happy about that? You're happy? Okay, at least some of y'all are. I know I am. Being I'm in college means I still have to work and all this stuff, but that also just gives me a week where I can do all the homework that I haven't done during the semester. So that's just something I'm extremely thankful about. But what another cool thing about Thanksgiving that I just truly enjoy each and every year is just being grouped together with friends and family. Typically, it is more of your family anyway, especially on the day of Thanksgiving. You just get to get together at one of the bigger houses that you might have in your family, right? And you go and you just have all this turkey, you have all this dressing, you have all this corn. You just get to indulge in all of this food. You just get to eat and eat and eat. And then they have football on the TV later in the day. And you have and you get this parade. I think it's really popular, right? That comes on a little later as well. And you just get to enjoy all this time celebrating relationships. And so we have this day that's just an amazing day of the year where we actually get to be thankful for like what we've been provided for and just the people that we are around. But do we oftentimes celebrate our relationship with God the same way? I mean, we have all these relationships that we again, talk about and we hang around, but how often do we spend time in God's Word actually building the relationship that we have with Him? Does that make any sense to y'all? Do you see where I'm going tonight? And so John last week gave us some amazing reasons why it's valuable to read and learn from God's Word. He said that you can have faith of your own. Your parents' faith will not last you past high school. I'm guaranteeing you that. When you step into college or in the real world or the technical school that you go to or whatever in life, your faith becomes your own, especially when you leave house. It changed for me just 2 years ago. I moved out, and I saw tons of spiritual growth during that time because I was challenged by my roommates. I was challenged by fellow friends that I had at times to actually grow and to make my faith my own. But I know several people that I even went to high school with or several people that I just know because it's so practical and it's so real that if you're not plugged into the Word of God when you leave your parents' home, typically you don't show up to church for a few years. Typically, you don't pray to God for a few years. And so you let that relationship, though you're able to celebrate Thanksgiving and be hanging around all the people that you love and you enjoy, but when we decide to regress in our relationship with God, it hurts. It hurts in ways that we just can't even comprehend. Again, he said avoiding, and another key thing that he brought up was avoiding believing something that isn't true. How many times, he brought up one last week, he talked about cleanliness and how it's next to godliness. That is not true. That is not scripture-based. That is something that has come around through ages upon ages of generations of people just saying something that sounded good. No, it is definitely not true. And if you read the Bible and you make it your own, you can establish what truly is real. And again, he even said that it helps during tough times. I guarantee 110% of the time, if you're going through a trial or just something's not going your way and you just open the Word and you just surrender yourself to God in those moments and just read and learn from Him, that you will see that the weight of the situations and the pressures that you are feeling will begin to be weighted off, taken off of you. Now, I'm not talking about the trial actually stopping or anything. God's timing is on that, and He wants those trials to last as long as it takes for you to realize that you need to turn back to Him, okay? That's oftentimes throughout Scripture. You look at the Israelites in the Old Testament, you see time and time again, He allows something bad to happen, so then they say, oh, this is bad. Maybe we should turn back to God, and then stuff that's good happens, and then they're like, oh, we're going to forget about God, and so He brings back the bad stuff. And so it's this time and time again, this cycle, but this exact same thing that goes on in our lives, okay? And so if we want to look in the Scripture real quick, in Psalms chapter 19, verse 105, it says, the Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, okay? What I'm talking about here is that it's going to guide your steps each and every day. It's going to guide you throughout the rest of your life, and it's so amazing, and I'm up here, and I'm just so excited about it that you're getting to hear this tonight because it is so impactful to our lives. This relationship with God that we can really build in three different ways. We can build it through reading of Scripture and just learning and just being around it. We can be built through community and serving together, and we can also build it through prayer. All of these aspects go into one, but one of the most important parts of that three is opening your Bible and reading from it. So now we know how valuable the word is, but how do we apply this to our lives? And this is really where we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm going to give you several tips. I'm going to give you several answers to questions that you might have. I understand that some of you in here are just coming from different areas in your walk with Christ. Some of you are brand new Christians, maybe a month out, maybe a year out, and you just really don't know a lot about what it means to read the Bible. And maybe some of you have been Christians for like 10, 15 years or something like that, but you have not put in place the habits and the practices of studying God's word on a daily basis, and so your faith, in essence, is the same as the new Christian. Does that make any sense to you? You might have a lot of head knowledge, but you're not actually acting upon it, okay? And then some of you, maybe you've already began digging into the Bible and just discovering things on your own, and you just need some ideas on how to improve the quality of your quiet time with God. So that's what we're going to talk about here tonight. And I'm telling you this, not because I've been given the opportunity to tell y'all, but honestly just to share part of me. Because when I was in middle school and when I was in high school, which wasn't that long ago, I'm just 21 years old. 4 years ago, I was a senior in high school. A lot of the same stuff that y'all are dealing with right now are some of the same things that I dealt with. Like, I get it, social media is out there. I get it, relationships are out there. I get it, video games are out there. Yeah, that affected my walk a lot. I was addicted to video games throughout all of high school. I spent thousands of hours playing games instead of thousands of hours being in the Word. And so I'm talking to y'all from experience. I'm talking to y'all because I regret those times. I regret all of those moments, hours that I just wasted doing other things, and how many times in my own life that I actually failed in my relationship with God to actually grow it, to make it more and more and more. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And hopefully I can relate to y'all in an amazing way, and that these tips are just not something that just blow over, that there's something that is just practical and that you are able to apply to your lives. So before we get in, I just feel led to pray. So Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you again for this night. Thank you for all these students that are gathered here, God. I just pray that they don't fall asleep in here, Lord, that I can hopefully keep their attention. Lord, I pray that you just give me the words to say, God, and that each and every one of these steps and just these answers that are going to be provided, Lord, I just pray that they apply them to their lives and they're able to grow in their relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first tip I'm going to talk about is super simple, okay? Super simple. The way that you can even apply this tip to your life is right here. You have a phone, okay? Right? Everyone either has a phone in their hand, checking social media instead of actually paying attention, or they're texting someone, or it's under their seats like John might have asked y'all to do, or whatever. But if you have no other way of writing these tips or anything like that, I encourage you to take out your notes and at least write these as you're going along, because hopefully there will be something that sticks. So the first tip that we're going to talk about is before you even get into the Word, okay, maybe you just don't even have the habit of being in the Word. Maybe you just have a Bible and it's just sitting on your table or on your dresser just collecting dust, but maybe it's time that you actually take things serious. So if you're trying to establish a habit, sometimes you need a reminder. So the first tip is simply set reminders on your phone to help you instill a pattern of a quiet time. Now, how simple is that? That's extremely simple. It takes like three steps on your phone. You just gotta be like, oop, this is the time I want. Oop, this is the sound I want. Oop, okay. Set it to repeat. Okay. Now, the follow-through is a lot different, but at least the reminder is absolutely there. Sometimes it's just a matter of devoting time to God. Life can be busy, but once we give God a designated spot in our lives where we can start to see change, then the more you're in the Word, the more you will see the world from a God-centered perspective. So all of this that we're going to talk about, okay, if you want to give it a foundation besides God, can come from simply having a reminder on your phone to get into God's Word. So the next tip we're going to talk about is before you even open the Bible, okay? Now you have this reminder on your phone. It's like, I'm going to set it for 2 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays, and then other days it's going to be at 4 a.m. because I'm just a goody-two-shoe, and I'm going to wake up 3 hours earlier than I have to, okay? But once you have these reminders set up, before we can open the Bible, okay, it's not just a book. This is a critical piece of our relationship with God, okay? So before we can even open this book, We need to seek the Lord through prayer to prepare our hearts for how he is going to speak to us. See, if you just open this book on any given day and you just flip to a certain section, it's like I just flipped to Acts chapter 8. A lot of good stuff is in Acts chapter 8. But maybe Acts chapter 8 isn't what God wants you to read right now. You might be able to get something, but maybe you're going through a struggle. Maybe God's leading you more towards studying the Old Testament. Maybe God's leading you towards Romans. Maybe God's leading you towards even Revelation, just to study that crazy book, because it absolutely is. But you might not know that because you just opened it and flipped to look somewhere. So when we humble ourselves and we come before the Lord, it's a time for us to praise him for who God is. God is the Almighty. He's the creator. He created us. He has given us purpose. He's given us new life. If you are a born-again Christian, he's given us the ability to speak and to talk when others are talking, and he just allows us to do so much. But then also for us to confess our sin to to God and just realize that, hey, honestly, I'm a broken person. I need to be made anew in you. I need to be restored in you. God, help me and guide me through your word to become more and more like you each and every day. And just to be honest with your hurts, because I'm telling you right now, I don't think a single person in here has an issue or is dealing with something that God cannot already show you some of the answers and practical ways of getting out of those situations through his word. So again, we have broken people in here that just need to bring that up to God. But I'm not going to go any further into prayer, because in the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to talk about prayer. And John's going to preach on that, and then Austin's going to preach on it too. And it's going to be amazing. I can't wait for y'all to hear about it. So these are just a couple of tips. You're just setting a foundation, right? You have a reminder on your phone set. Now you've prepared your heart for just how God is going to speak to you. Okay, so now we're going to get into some questions about just simply life in general, okay? So how much time should I spend with God? That's a very valid question. How much time should I spend with God? And the very simple answer, that's up to you and God. Some of y'all are able to have times in your life where you can spend an hour, maybe 2 hours, just where you might be just watching Netflix or just scrolling on your phone doing nothing, and you can just devote that to time with God. Others of you might have so many responsibilities that are just placed upon you at such a young age that you can give him 15 minutes of like your morning or your evening to give to him, and that would be great too. Just honestly, it's just the most appropriate time. Where am I going with this? A quiet time should be given the same amount of time as you might spend doing something different. How many of us watch Netflix in here? It's a good amount of us. Typically, and I'm one for binging a show, right? I've been through The Office 7 times to this point. And it's my absolute favorite show. I watch it so many times. The ending always makes me cry. I cry. I'm a very emotional person when it comes to that show. But typically, those episodes are, what, 30 to 45 minutes? Sure. But typically, they're around that range. And they get longer, or was it they flip? They get shorter as the seasons go on. Anyway, that doesn't really matter. But what if you just take 2 episodes amount of time, right? Maybe an hour, hour and a half, and you decide, I'm not going to watch these 2 episodes of The Office, but instead I'm going to read God's word. I'm telling you, it's going to do so much for you. If you can just devote more of your time to studying God's word. Another question that might even have is, when should I spend time with God? And the overly Jesus answer should be like, every single waking moment that you possibly can. But that's not very practical, okay? The simple answer is the time of day that you're most free from distractions. So for me, and just how I am and how I function, I'm an early person. I get up around 7, 8 o'clock on my college schedule. I know that's not early for some of y'all that do band or other activities in the morning, but that's what I do. I take about 2 hours to get ready for the day, but a lot of that includes time with God. I set aside a good 30 to 40 minutes, depending on my schedule, for that morning, purely to learn from the Lord. And I know if I miss that, that day is just completely ruined. I'm going to be extremely more negative. I'm going to be someone that just absolutely does not live the best way I should. I'm not living for Jesus that day, especially if I don't give him time. But some of y'all might be evening people, okay, where you were able to handle the stresses of the day and just knew that you're just excited to get home, so then you're able to open your Bible. Maybe you've already taken a shower, you've gotten ready for bed, and you're getting all in your covers, or you're just getting in a nice little, getting a nice little blanket over you, and you're just going to go sit in your little corner, and you're excited to read the Word, and you're able to spend that time before you sleep just really reflecting on what God is saying to you, and reflecting on how he's just going to, what he wants to tell you. But some of you, it might be easier in the middle of the day. But again, the most important thing is it has to be a time where you can be free from distractions. So it might be hard for you to do it at school, but it might be a lot easier for you on your ride home from school, maybe, or something like that. Just a moment where you know that you don't have to worry about homework or chores or maybe your siblings or anything like that. A moment where it's just you and you can be with God in a place alone, free from distractions. Put your phone away, open your Bible, get out a journal, which we're going to talk about in a second, and just spend time alone with him and just hear from him. So the next question would be, how can I spend time with God in a group? Yes, you can, but not your quiet time. Your quiet time is a time where you can get alone, again, like I just said, and you can just be secluded from the world, okay? It's you, it's God's word, it's your time with the Lord. You have no outside distractions. Now, after your time is done, and sometimes you just have people that are just pouring into your life as well, you can get together in groups, small groups. That's one of the big things why we have those on Sundays, is the ability for y'all to gather as fellow believers and talk and share about how God is, what is God doing in your life. I know the junior boys, they have a very strong small group on their Thursday nights that they just take and they just separate themselves from the world and they can get real with one another. That's important times, but that should never take place of your quiet time. Does that make sense? Am I making it clear? Hopefully. So you have all of this built up, right? You have your reminder. You have prepared your heart. You have found your place where you can just be free from distractions. You're not worrying about other people right now. But maybe you just need something else to help things stick. Okay? And that brings us to our next question. What about journaling? You know, some people like to have a journal and they just write all their stuff down, whether that's about their day, maybe that's about how God is speaking to them or whatever. But oftentimes people are thinking about, well, should I apply journaling to my time with God? Maybe that'll help me apply it better. And the simple answer to that, it depends on the person. Try it out and see if it's for you. I'm not saying that's a one-time try. Give it a period of a few weeks to see if that habit grows on you or something like that. But I know for me personally, I've tried journaling and I've tried not journaling. And for me, it's better. Like, I just function better whenever I'm not putting words to paper. So I spend time meditating on what I'm learning, how to apply it to my life. But others of you, you might need to write out how God is speaking to you and just think through everything to get to where he's actually trying to lead you. So journaling, again, it's up to you. But try it out. Try out journaling and see if it's something that you really want and that is beneficial to your time with the Lord or not. And so with that in mind, we go into this next type of question. Sometimes it's simply, where should I start reading? What are some good books for me to start reading? You have over 60 books in the Bible, each dealing with different types of topics. Was it like 66? Yeah, okay. I thought it might have been something different, but I went with over 60 because I knew that was the number. But it's filled with so much knowledge and so much wisdom. But depending on your the timing of your life, some books might be more practical than others. If you're a new Christian, I highly recommend that you look through the Gospel of John and then through the book of Romans. The Gospel of John is super simple to read. It's number one, a firsthand account of Jesus and just what he did on this life. So if you are a new creation, this is a great place to start because, hey, this is the person that saved you. You might want to learn about him, maybe. I don't know. But even if you don't want to go through that gospel, there's three others that you can choose from, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But it's a super simple read. It's 21 chapters. If you apply that to your life and you, for a month's time, you read through John, you'd have 10 days left over, typically. So you might be able to add that to something else, or if you wanted to go back and rehash it, that's great. But John is extremely important to see and experience Jesus' life, his teachings, his miracles, and his sacrifice. And then I said Romans. Why Romans? Romans is 16 chapters. It'll take you a little over half a month if you did a chapter a day of it. It's super simple, but man, is it a hard-hitting book. And for new Christians or just Christians in general, if you need a wake-up call about just what you need to be living according to, the sacrifice that God made, where you were before sin and where you were after sin, it's a great place to go. Romans is that heavy, but that good. And so if you are a new Christian, I definitely recommend starting with those two books, and you can finish them in 2 months or less. It's that simple. Maybe you're in a time in your life where you just need to seek wisdom and you need practical lessons. And I would recommend y'all go to Proverbs for that. I compiled a list. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and I just took one different type bit of wisdom, one different type of truth, and I just made a list for you. So ready? It's going to go super fast. To be disciplined, walk in integrity, honor God with your money, don't follow bad examples, avoid immoral people, swallow your pride, avoid sexual sin, keep wisdom by your side, wisdom leads to long life, don't be lazy, gossiping leads nowhere, love animals, choose wise words, work hard, gentle words go long ways, be humble, the Lord will test your heart, rumors hurt, God's plans are always better than our plans. Alcohol leads to poor decisions. Justice will prevail. Don't owe others. Don't envy sinners. Honesty is sweet. Sound advice lasts. Don't honor fools. Never abandon a friend. Greed leads to conflict. Be fair. Never slander a worker. And search for a spouse that is honoring and a blessing. So that was 31 general pieces of advice found in the book of Proverbs. That was one piece of advice from each and every chapter, and there's hundreds more to be found in those verses. But I just compiled a small list, and that's a lot of stuff that you can just take and apply to your lives right now, maybe. So definitely Proverbs. But maybe you want a challenge. Maybe you're not just, you know, one of these people that's like, you know, one book's not enough, or whatever. Maybe you want to read the Bible in its entirety, from cover to cover. And that's something that's amazing, and I'd highly recommend you doing it sometime in your life. I'm still doing it right now. But to get the complete narrative from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, and you see how God's amazing and miraculous and all-knowing plan just works its way through. You see Jesus at the beginning. You see Jesus in the middle. You see Jesus at the end. You just work through this narrative, and whenever people bring up truths that just aren't true, like John had recommended, talked about last week, you can say, like, no, that doesn't line up with the overarching story of the Bible. Take your time, though. Go at a pace that you can soak it in. You never just want to be reading to just mark off that you were doing it off a checklist. This relationship is what we're talking about. Reading the Bible is part of a relationship. It's not your math book. It's not a diary of Wimpy Kid or other books that y'all might be reading right now. It's so much more. It's God's advice and God's plans for your life just detailed for you to read and to soak in. I understand and I know that there are times where the Old Testament can get a little boring around Leviticus and Deuteronomy, but there are ways around actually soaking that in and applying it to your life as well. I highly recommend if you're going to go through the Old Testament, balance it with the New. So you read a couple of chapters of the Old, then read a couple of chapters of the New, and you can see how Jesus shows up in both, very practically, even when you get to the books of the law, because it's in the law that you're reminded you don't have to follow the law anymore, and that this relationship is not based off of legalism. And again, there are plenty of ways on the internet, plenty of plans, sorry, on the internet that you can look into that will give you unique ways to go through the Bible. I know of several that will make you go through the New Testament 5 different times throughout the course of a year while you're walking through the Old Testament. So you're soaking in all of this information. There's others that might just have you do a chapter a day, which takes a lot longer of a time, but you're able to soak in so much during that one chapter a day. But I say all of this, again, I kind of touched on it before, and just this one reminder before we close. We've said all of these practical steps. We've given these reasons why to get in the Word and to study it. We've talked about how to be, how to establish a habit of it with a reminder, how to prepare our hearts to come before the Lord. But a quick reminder, and I already kind of touched on this before, is just like at Thanksgiving, it's a relationship. It's a time with God. It's not a chore. It's not homework. This is a time where you get to hear from your Heavenly Father. Just as I'm talking to you right now, God can talk to you through reading His Word. And I stress that because oftentimes I have felt in the past that reading the Bible was like my textbook. And that's simply not what the Bible is. It's so much more. It has lasted thousands upon thousands of years, these teachings that have been written by authors that have been ordained by God to tell these stories. It is placed here for you so that you can understand more of your purpose that God has placed on your life. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. You want to find out more about who you are through Christ? Read your Bible. Study it. Learn it. Memorize it. Apply it to your life each and every day. And that's what we're here for. Even as leaders here for Fuel, we want this for you. We desire this for you. There are adults throughout here that can probably attest to times in their life where they just stepped away from the Bible. And those times have left them dry. And, you know, we don't want that for you. I mean, we're broken people, and we need to be made whole. And the only way we can be made whole is through God and through studying His Scripture and just, again, applying it to our lives. So as I close, I just pray over the next few days, and maybe even if you take this Thanksgiving week and you just prepare yourself and you set into up reminders on your phone and you just get after it, and over Thanksgiving break you're able to start a habit of actual quiet times, because you're about to have a lot of free time on your hands, honestly. So why not spend some of that actually grooming your relationship with the Lord? So let me just pray for y'all real quick. Father God, again, I just thank You for who You are, how You sent Your Son to die on the cross for us, and You've just given us so many opportunities day in and day out to live according to Your Word. Lord, I just pray again for these students as they leave here tonight that they have been challenged by You to open the Word, to read more about You, to focus more on You, and to live Christ-centered lives. In Jesus' name, amen.